Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, MEAC fans. It's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAction with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to MEACHoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Start a global hospitality brand? Be next to do it in Montgomery County, Maryland. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how our top talent, diversity, and location will help you be the next company to change the world.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Dynasty and Prospect Fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 46 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as always, from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's up, man?
Not too much. I'm glad to have you back from vacation. So I know we'll have some good Dynasty talk. There's been a lot that's happened this past week, and I know we'll even recap some of your live looks. So
yeah,
be a good night, and I think it's going to be a great pod. I'm looking forward to kind of recapping a lot of. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy week in baseball when we look kind of at the rundown, and it seems like a lot has changed, a lot of dynasty movers, and I think it's going to be a great episode.
Absolutely. And yeah, even though I was on vacation down in the Philadelphia and Southern New Jersey area for the last week plus, still got a live look at arguably the top pitching prospect in baseball, Grayson Rodriguez. We'll get into that in a little bit, but it was a nice vacation, but you know, being home now, I have my coffee milk again. Everyone that's listened to, you know, especially Five Tool from the past, like knows about the whole coffee milk bit with Jake Devereaux and I, and they don't have coffee milk syrup, or coffee syrup, I should say, in that area. It's strictly like a Maine, Mass, New Hampshire, Rhode Island type of thing. So got my coffee milk back in my podcast. I feel good. Got to go back to work tomorrow or today as you're listening to this. So not too happy about that. It's been a nice 10 days off though. But like Chris said, we got a lot to get to tonight. But before we do, let's get into the usual housekeeping here. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Check out our Patreon for extra written content from both of us, bonus podcasts, private Discord access, access to our live prospect and dynasty rankings, and much more. These perks are available across four different tiers, starting at $5. Or if you just want to thank and support Chris and I, you can do so for $1 a month. Sign up today at patreon.com/FanTraxToolshed. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life. And for all you fantasy football fanatics, we just added two new fantasy football podcasts, Fantasy Football Addicts and Define Fantasy Football. So just in time for the football season, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, which is kind of surprising here. The summer's flown by, but we still got plenty of baseball here. So let's get right into the episode here. We'll start with a bit of good news here. A couple bits of good news here. It's always good to start with some good news. Let's start with the both of which actually come out of Miami. First of all, Edward Cabrera promoted from AAA. He will be starting on Wednesday, one of the top 15 or so pitching prospects in baseball. He's had a very, very good season in across three levels, mostly at AA and AAA. 13 total starts, 61 in the third innings, 2.93 ERA, 1.14 whip. Just a very good season, one of the top arms in baseball, or in the minor leagues, I should say. Chris, how excited are you about the Edward Cabrera promotion?
I think he could be really good. I think for the Marlins especially, they could use a nice jolt, and maybe this is a guy. You know, their rotation's been stellar. Like, they constantly produce pitchers. They've kind of becoming like second to Cleveland in producing arms, and so definitely exciting. You know, without having Sixto this year, it was kind of hard to compare the two, but a lot of people thought Cabrera could be the better of the two at one point. And then, you know, Sixto was pretty dominant last year. So now he's going to get his chance to show himself, and you just look, and he's been absolutely dominant. You know, even really dating back to 2019 when he first moved up to high A, and even in double A, he dominated at 21 years old. Obviously last year kind of being a lost year, we wondered if we might see him, but we didn't. There was some injuries, I think. And then, you know, this year he's kind of had some struggles as well with injuries, but still, like you mentioned, he's been solid. When he's pitched, the command kind of went a little bit at AAA, but hopefully that'll bounce back. You know, he's not ever posted walk rates like that before in his career. I think he's a 30% K type guy, you know, sub 10% walk rate. So he should be really solid, and definitely looking forward to seeing that, you know, nasty pitch mix that we've seen from him, you know, with his fastball, slider, and change. You know, slider and change have made a lot of strides, I think, and will be a big part of him sticking as a starter. So I think that, you know, he definitely has the repertoire and the command to be a starter long-term. So definitely excited about him.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah, like you mentioned, the secondaries have taken that step forward. Just that slider, right? That slider, I think, is a plus pitch down. You get that fastball, which is, you know, could be borderline double plus. Like, I don't give out, you know, you only like 50, you know, 55, 65 grade. I use 55 and 45. I don't use 65. If I would, I'd probably give his fastball a 65. I think it's closer to 70 than 60, but I'm not ready to put a 70 grade on it. But yeah, mid to upper 90s, got some good run and sink on it. That nice downhill plane he gets, because you get the 6'5 frame, a very solid frame. We talked before he came on the air, 6'5, about 220 or so. So solid frame, maybe a little skinny, but like what you're saying, not Tristan McKenzie skinny, who we'll talk about here later on in the show. But yeah, and that changeup has taken a step forward as well. It's to the point where I'd say it's at least average, flashes above average, and he's just shown a better feel for his entire arsenal, really, where there was some reliever lists just due to the, you know, the secondaries a couple of years ago where they were, and the, you know, command and control being, you know, solid but not great, and then obviously the injury history that we've both mentioned. So definitely solidified himself as a starter at this point. And yeah, I agree. I think he's gonna be a high K guy, you know, kind of a middle of the road walk guide, but not anything that's gonna be, you know, detrimental to his value, and should post some pretty strong ratios and in one of the best orgs in baseball for pitching development. So I think he's just keep getting better and better, and he could be long term. What do you think in long term, Edward Cabrera? Like top? Would you say he could be top 25 fantasy arm, or is that a little high? You think? I think 20, top 25, top 30 is probably fair.
Yeah, I think when you think about the upside, I think he's definitely capable of that. You know, I think I could see him being like a, you know, 3-6 ERA type. You know, I think the WHIP could be a little high. I think that's probably the biggest concern, but he's going to strike out a lot of guys. So I think top 25 is definitely reasonable.
Maybe in like that Jose Berrios range where it's like mid 3 ERA, good strikeouts. Yeah, I think you definitely settle in as like a solid mid to back end fantasy SP2 or, you know, high end fantasy SP3, depending if you're like a 12 teamer or something like that.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. And speaking of top 25 arms from Miami, some good news here out of Trevor Rogers' world here, where we didn't really know what was going on with him for the longest time. He was put on the, I think it was like the family medical leave or whatever that's called. And he was transferred to the bereavement list and then to the restricted list because his stay on the bereavement list expired. I should have pulled up the gentleman's name that wrote this article down there, but he interviewed Rogers recently. And basically Rogers was dealing with a lot of COVID stuff in his family. Both his parents had COVID. It was more serious with his mother. His mother was actually on a ventilator for a bit of time here. And that's obviously never good when you need help breathing. And then he said he was like just hanging out with his dad because his dad was taking it hard, which is understandable. And he lost both of his grandfathers recently as well. So a lot of, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on, family stuff. So glad to hear, obviously, you know, sucks, you know, condolences about both the grandfathers. But yeah, glad to hear that his parents are doing well, especially his mother, who was kind of in a really scary spot for a little bit of time. But looks like he's ready to get back to into baseball activities here, but he'll need to be ramped up, probably have a little bit of a rehab, maybe at least one or two rehab starts. So rest of the year, I don't know what we can expect out of Rogers. Maybe a few starts, but are they going to really let him loose for the rest of the year? So redraft leagues, you know, I'd still obviously, you know, if he's available or if you have him, you got to keep him. But yeah, I don't know if there's much value this year. So I don't think they're going to really pitch him more than, you know, they're not going to let him go with them being out of contention. That would make no sense, especially after all the time he's missed. But yeah, it's just good that everything's going better in his life right now. So glad to hear that.
Yeah, and you know, we have to talk about it from a fantasy perspective, obviously. And if you've held on to him this long in a redraft league, I mean, it doesn't hurt to keep holding him. But I would guess that you're probably looking at, because the report was that he would need a couple weeks to ramp up away from the team, plus some rehab starts. So that's probably mid-September. And like you said, I don't see him being pushed very much. So, you know, I cut him in a 12 team. I still have him in TGFBI. Now we know something. I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep him or not. We'll see. We'll see what's available this week on the wire. But, you know, it's definitely something to contemplate. But yeah, I don't see a ton of value this year. But obviously, long term, you know, Rogers showed what he was capable of. And in dynasty leagues, I still think he's a solid SP2.
All right, I'm going to put you in the hot seat here before we go on to our next topic, Chris. Let's go 5 years in the future. Rank these Marlins arms for me. As I'm assuming they're all still going to be here. So rank, for dynasty purposes, who you think would be the best in 5 years. Out of Rogers, Sixto, Pablo, Cabrera, and Max Meyer. Rank those five for me.
Oh, geez. All right. Let me make sure I got them all. We didn't even include Lizardo.
Oh, yeah. Let's throw him in there, too.
Yeah, but that's crazy. He might be the bottom of that.
He could be.
All right. So I would say my top is Rogers, then okay. Pablo. Rogers, Pablo. God, I love Meyer, too. But
it's tough, ain't it?
They're proven at the major league level. So Rogers, Pablo, Meyer, Sixto, Cabrera, Lizardo. God. I don't know. I love Lizardo, but
I do too. I'm going to go Rodgers 1. I'm still going to put Sixto 2. It's a little risky, but I still love the skill set, love the pitch mix, think the K rate will tick up. Seems to stay healthy, obviously. But hopefully this is the last. Hopefully you can put everything behind him. I'll go Pablo 3. He's just so – he might be, like, oddly enough, the most boring, quote-unquote, of this group, but he's just so damn good and so steady. So I'll go him 3. So what do I have left? I'll go – ooh, Meyer Cabrera. That's close. Probably Meyer, then Cabrera, then Luzardo. Luzardo could be, like, number 2 on this list, and it wouldn't shock me either if he corrects things. And he's in, you know, a great place to get corrected. So, that was tough. This shows all the pitching. And that's not even including. They have so many other arms. Like, we're just including, like, the top 6. Like, it's, like, 6 or 7 more that are major league caliber starting arms, too. So, it's an embarrassment of pitching riches down there in Miami. See if they can get the offense going. Moving out of Miami here, a couple more news and notes. A couple of demotions, some high-profile prospect, well, not prospects anymore, but they were at one time. Alec Baum and Trevor Larnach have been demoted over the last week to AAA. And, you know, while the, you know, quality of contact metrics for both were pretty solid, like Baum, 92nd percentile average exit velocity, 91st percentile hard hit rates, and with Larnach, 63rd percentile, not quite as good, but 63rd percentile average exit velo, 50% hard hit rate, 97th percentile max exit velo. Now, neither one obviously were doing really well. 223, 322, 350 with 7 home runs in 301 plate appearances for Larnach. And for Alec Baum, who I just saw recently at the Phillies game. And apparently, you know, my buddies that live down there, apparently Philadelphia's already, like, turned on Baum. Like, they're done with Alec Baum already, which is, you know, a little bit early to be done with Baum. I'm not done with Baum for fantasy, that's for sure. But kind of lackluster season, 245, 302, 342 slash, 7 home runs, and oddly enough, 4 steals and 407 plate appearances. With them both getting demoted, Chris, and what you've seen with them this year, which one are you more confident in turning it around long term? for me, it's probably Baum, but
yeah, I think
both can turn it around, but I'm more confident in Baum.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the profile, I think Baum's biggest problem is he hits the ball on the ground too much.
Yeah.
Terrible launch angle. The ground ball rate was near 53% this year. So while he's hitting it hard, he was just drilling it into the ground, which obviously wasn't going to play. I think it's
like the Vladimir Guerrero issue from last year. He's like a poor man's Vlad Jr. going through the same issues that Vlad Jr. went through a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to have that power, I don't think.
Right.
He probably won't ever hit for that average, but I still think there's a solid ball player in here. I mean, I think there's a guy with plus raw power. I think there's, you know, above average to plus hit tool in the profile. And I think we just need to see him work on that swing a little bit and adjust a few things and hopefully get back on track. And, you know, Larnach's problem is a little harder to identify, in my opinion, other than the contact rates were just really, really bad. And, you know, he could turn it around. I'm a little more confident in Baum just because I think it's easier to identify specifically, like, what's going wrong. I mean, right. Baum's contact rates were solid. They were fine. He could probably do a little better in the zone. I mean, his zone contact was just 80% this year after being, you know, near 88% in his MLB debut last year. Just the ground balls, man. That's the biggest thing. And I think that if he gets that right, then he will be okay. So I'm not overly worried from a dynasty perspective. Obviously, you can drop him in a redraft league. But from a dynasty perspective, you know, this could be the best time to buy. Like, his yep. value is, like, nothing. So I think you go out and trade for him for pretty cheap if trades are still open in your leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the ground ball rate, 52.8% this year, 22.5% fly ball rates, average launch angle, 5.7 degrees. So, yeah, not good there. But, you know, like I said, his hard hit rate is up. It's top 9% of the league. It's just when you're slow, even though he has 4 steals, he's a below average runner, and you hit the ball hard into the ground, you know, especially in today's age where, you know, there's, you know, a lot more shifts and it's harder to hit a ground ball through the hole, so to speak. What, you know, especially with a guy like Baum who doesn't have the speed to make up for it. It's not like he's going to beat out a lot of these ground balls. So And he's really been struggling against fastballs too, which has been odd. He's actually cranking off speed. He's hitting 330 versus breaking pitches, 375 versus off speed, 190 against fastballs. So that's very odd. 25.4% whiff rate on fastball. He's just 266 slug, 241 wOBA off fastball. It's just not doing, he's doing well. And that's a pitch he's seeing, you know, close to 2/3 of the time. So yeah, that's just not get the job done. So correct the issue against fastballs, launch angle, get up. I still think he can be a poor man's Vlad. You know, obviously he's never going to be Vlad. He's not nearly the caliber player Vlad is, but like Vlad's profile, but scaled back to like 80%. So I think he still could be like a 280, 25 type of guy. Especially in that ball, it's a good ballpark, you know, good lineup around him probably, you know, Harper's to be there for a while. So, and JT Realmuto and, so I still think, yeah, he can be a top 100 player long term. So yeah, right now is just a great time to buy. And if you want to go out and just get one of these two, I'd go after Baum first. So I do think he's, you know, more correctable, his issues. Like we said, it's the ground ball issue, it's the fastball issue. So definitely still a believer in Alec Baum. But yeah, it's been a rough season. I had a fair amount of shares of Alec Baum, both redraft and dynasty. So it's been, you know, a tough year for Alec Baum. And speaking of tough years, George Springer is hurt again. We give a lot of, you know, a lot of crap, you know, a lot of, you know, detractors for being hurt to guys like, you know, Alberto Mondesi, Steven Strasburg. You know, those are kind of like the poster boys for being hurt. But George Springer ain't far behind them, like in terms of being hurt. Like the guy, he's played one full season back in 2016. And he's never played above 140 games since then. So it's not like as drastic as those guys, but at this point, he's only played 49 games this year. And he's been pretty solid in those 49 games, 269, 362, 610 slug, which is the highest of his career. 16 home runs in 49 games, but
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I just can't count on him to stay healthy. And now he's 30. Is he 32? Almost. It'll be 32 next month. So he's not getting any younger, getting up in the mid-30s pretty soon here. Do you think, you know, is it time to just really drop George Springer down our, you know, our dynasty rankings? Because I have him still slightly inside my top 100, but I'm wondering if that's too high at this point. Like the talent is there, obviously. He's always been pretty productive when he's been on the field, but it's just, you can't count on him for more than like 130, 140 games at most now.
Yeah. And even when he came back, I mean, he was playing like 5 days a week. He had finally, I think, built up a little more like the last couple of weeks, but even still, I mean, now he's out again. He was solid, like you said, since coming back in late June from the injury. I mean, a 275, 368, 611 slash, 14 home runs over 193 plate appearances. I think the speed, stolen bases aren't really a thing. They haven't been a thing, you know, really for a while with him. He's good to chip in a couple, but I'm not expecting any of that moving forward. But what kind of batting average should we expect? You know, I mean, in a batting average league, you look and he's kind of been inconsistent throughout his career. In 2015, 276, 261 in 16. Then he bumped to 283, back down to 265. 2019, in his, you know, career year was 292, and then dropped down 265 last year and 269 this year. You know, in a batting average league, is he, if he hits 270 with good pop, like how valuable really is that other than him being in an elite lineup?
Right.
Yeah, like you said, when you factor, you know, the performance, the injuries, I think he should probably be outside the top 100, and he's not outside of mine yet. So it's something to definitely consider.
Yeah, and like I said, and that profile is, well, it's good. It's a profile that's kind of easily attainable, or it's not a special profile, I'll say. And then you can factor in, like, you know, he could be a 270, 30 to 35 pace, but, you know, what actually are you getting? Is, you know, scale that back to 130 games, is 270 and what, 24, 25, 26 home runs, something like that. And then you got to factor in, you got to, you know, put him in the IL, find a replacement, and yeah, he's in a good lineup, and they're going to play him. I think they're going to try to keep playing him, obviously, even though the smart thing would probably be to scale him back, and like I think, which they kind of were, but how long are they going to realistically do that? Because they have him signed through, it's had in front of me, 2026. They got 5 more years after this at an average annual value of $25 million per. So this is, you know, they get a lot of money locked into here to George Springer, so they got to play. They can't really scale him back when you're paying him that much money, even though he probably should at this point in his career with what he's, you know, shown durability wise. But yeah, definitely one that, like I said, he's a good player. I don't think either of us are saying go out and sell him right now, but you know, maybe if you could still get like a top 75 value for him, I would be okay selling George Springer right now. Cause like we both kind of hinted that he should probably be valued outside the top 100 just due to what the profile and how many games he plays. But I have a feeling you could probably still get a top 75 player for him just on the name value alone. Because I think the name George Springer might even be a top 50 name value. Is that fair, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And can we talk about these contracts? Like, I hope that the CBA completely changes this up, because no player really hits free agency till they're 30. And then they get these contracts. And by the end of the contracts, they're, you know, worthless. And this isn't bad. I mean, this isn't terrible by any means compared to some, but you know, like even you mentioned, at the end of his contract, would it be like 37, 38? Is he worth 25 mil then? Probably not, you know? Nope. And so, I hope that we see this change, because the way it's done is terrible. And, you know, it limits a lot of teams that aren't going to spend these contracts on these 30-plus-year-olds. And so you stack – teams get stuck with these guys, and then, you know, they're kind of screwed too when they're stuck paying them. So I can't stand it. But
yeah, and then, like, you know, the whole arbitration thing, I've always hated arbitration. I think it's just terrible for the game, because, like you mentioned, it delays. Like, these guys should not be hitting free agency in their late 20s. Like you said, with Albert Pujols, he finally hit free agency, and he's been absolutely terrible for the back half of this contract, or actually back, you know, most of the two-thirds of it, probably. But, yeah, in arbitration, it just creates this, you know, unneeded friction or tension between the player and the agent and the team, because you're like, they're fighting back. Oh, we think you're worth 3.2. Oh, I think I'm worth 3.8. And just, you know, we saw it with was Xander Bogaerts. That was kind of an issue here in Boston. Luckily, they finally came to an agreement, and now he's under a long-term contract, so it's still worked out. But you see that a lot, where it kind of sours the relationship here, and, you know, causes some good players to want to leave via free agency, especially on these small market teams. They can't really afford to, you know, dish out these big contracts like, you know, Toronto can. So, yeah, it's an issue. And hopefully, you know, we'll see. I think it's going to be some big changes in the CBA. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully, there's just not a work stoppage that goes along with that. Let's not miss any games here. I don't want to miss any games. But moving on here, as we alluded to, I got to see Grayson Rodriguez on Tuesday the 17th. So one of my first days out there, drove about an hour out to Reading. I was saying right outside of the city in Philadelphia, about an hour northwest out to Reading. Nice little ballpark, kind of in the mountains. It had a nice mountain scene behind it. So it was a nice game, and he pitched great. You know, in 6 innings, when he gave up, I think 2 hits, 1 walk, 1 run, and 7 strikeouts. And yeah, he came as advertised, and I was very impressed. You know, he was running his fastball. He was sitting really like 95 to 97. With a fastball. He topped out at 99 once or twice. I was mixing in the slider, curve, changeup. Slider was probably the most impressive. That's when he threw the most. I'd say easily plus offering there. I think that's plus, and the fastball is easily plus. Maybe even, again, it's one of those fastballs where I'd say 65 if I'd use that. But easily plus. You get the 2 plus offerings. Changeup and curve both kind of looked like they were average to above average offerings. He used the changeup more than the curveball in that start, but he threw a couple of buttes, curveballs that landed for strikes as well. And command, little spotty at times, down in the zone. Up in the zone, he was absolutely just carving hitters apart with that fastball. So much explosive life on it. And yeah, he came as advertised. And you know, I think there was a debate for most of the season as to who the number one pitching prospect was after the fall of Gore and the rise of G-Rod and so many others. It was kind of like an open discussion, but I think G-Rod is now like undoubtedly my number one pitching prospect. After seeing him live as well, he's cemented for me as number one. What are your thoughts on G-Rod in general, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you just look and his performance has just been stellar. I think he's, you know, steadily improved, and he's always been, you know, extremely solid. But when you just look and see the arsenal, you know, getting better, in my opinion, and the fall of a lot of guys, he's been consistent. And so when you see the consistency and how dominant he's been, as opposed to a lot of pitching prospects struggling, you know, it's hard to argue against him. I mean, the command is extremely good. The arsenal is extremely well-rounded, and he's got, you know, I would argue a couple plus pitches in there. And the performance has just been absolutely stellar. And even moving up to double A, you know, at 21 years old, he's been dominant. 61 innings, he's been extremely good. You know, the strikeout rate near 40%, walk rate at 7%. Like, when you have a K minus walk rate of 32% at double A at 21 years old, you're doing something right. I mean, a swinging strike rate of near 18% in high A, obviously it's 23 innings. Yeah, 23.3% swinging strike rate. You know, you're missing bats. You're not walking a ton of guys, and everything under the hood looks great too. It's not like he's been lucky by any means. Yeah, I mean, in high A, he had a high strand rate, but in a low BABIP. But even still, you know, his FIP was still 2.48 opposed to a 1.54 ERA. And his FIP is actually lower in double A at 2.81 than his ERA of 2.92. So, you know, you could argue that maybe he's had some luck go against him. You know, a lower strand rate at 72% and the BABIP of 260. So, yeah, I mean, he's really, really good. I think that this Orioles organization has been developing players a lot better recently, and he's really thriving. I think they implemented a new pitching program, and he's just thrived. And he's refined the secondaries. The fastball we know is, you know, plus or better. So, like you said, I think it's awesome you got to see him live, and I think he'll be, you know, a really, really solid pitcher. I traded him last year in one of my dynasty leagues as part of a deal to get DeGrom, and, you know, kind of wish, obviously DeGrom's DeGrom, but even still, like, kind of would love to have him still in my farm system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's great. He is a stud, and don't mind that random noise you just heard. That was my phone alarm going off. I'm not sure why. I have an alarm set for 9 p.m. on Monday, but that was my phone, so don't mind that. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed by my alarm. But yeah, G-Rod was just awesome, and that was great to get to see him. Let's go. We're actually going to talk about him, this guy later in the show, but since you brought up DeGrom, let's talk about him now, because DeGrom is being shut down the rest of the year, it looks like. And with his age, you know, DeGrom is undoubtedly, I think, the best pitcher in the game right now. But I think there it stands the question, is he still the number one dynasty arm? Because even though we talked many times on the show, Chris, about, you know, look at the mileage, not the age, because he's low mileage for a 33-year-old. But then again, he still is 33. Just because he has low mileage doesn't mean he's going to pitch until he's 48 or anything like that. So I think with this injury, you know, all these issues he's had with the arm this year, I think that discussion for number one dynasty arm is back up for debate right now. I mean, we got a bunch of guys you could put in that discussion, you know. Yeah, at least two Milwaukee arms in there. I'm not putting Freddie Peralta in there quite yet, even though I love Peralta. But, you know, Burns and Woodruff are in the discussion. Bieber's still there, even though he's been out for most of the year. Garrett Cole was still there. Walker Buehler. So is there a debate here, Chris, for number one dynasty arm, do you think?
I think it's fair. I think it's fair to at least discuss it. Because when you look at the age, like, and what if DeGrom is more hurt and has a surgery? You know, you mentioned he's 33 years old. Like, if he were to have, you know, any kind of surgery that set him back even further, then we're looking at like 34 years old before he's pitching again. And yeah, I definitely look at, you know, mileage on pitchers' arms before age, but I think it's still something, you know, noteworthy to discuss. And yeah, you mentioned, and while there's not like a clear cut number one, I think that you can make the argument for Buehler. I think you can make the argument for Cole. I think you can make it for Burns. I think you make it for Woodruff, even though Woodruff, you know, kind of struggled the last month. But all those guys are in the conversation. We're not even talking about Shane Bieber, who was that top guy for a while, but he's, you know, missed a ton of time this year. And the list kind of goes on of, you know, guys that are just outside that conversation, Giolito even. But yeah, when he pitched, he was no doubt the best arm in baseball. There's no arguing that. I mean, just the results are absolutely stellar. I mean, he threw 92 innings, 108 ERA, a 0.55 whip, 146 Ks, just 11 walks. Like, it's ridiculous how good he was. And, you know, the crazy thing is, even though he hasn't pitched in so long, he's still the second highest rated pitcher on Rasball's player rater, who's behind Bueller.
Okay, I was gonna ask who was number one. I was thinking it was probably Bueller.
Yep, it's Bueller, then DeGrom, then Cole, Scherzer, Gausman. It's interesting to see them still up there. Then Wheeler. Surprised to see some other guys. Burns comes in next, but yeah, I mean, that's how good he was when he pitched. That he's still rated that high for fantasy purposes. But, you know, for Dynasty, I think it definitely, you know, begs the question, who is number one? And, you know, Bueller has had probably the most quiet, dominant season that we've seen. And, yeah, I think he's right up there in, like, the innings lead, you know, for the most innings thrown this year. He's thrown 162. Wheeler's thrown 169. I'm not sure if anybody else has topped that. But, obviously, he's been durable. He has a 2.11 ERA, a 0.93 whip, 170 strikeouts. So the strikeouts are really the biggest question mark. Like, he's not, like, overwhelming. He's got a 9.4 K per nine, but the walks are good too, just 2.3 per nine. So Bueller doesn't really have the strikeout stuff of some of the other aces, but the results have been there, and he's been durable. He's getting the job done. So you can make an argument, I think, for several pitchers for that number one spot right now. Not including Ohtani, who were, you know, I think Ohtani's obviously highest rated of any of those, the dual player, but yeah, outside of Ohtani, anybody could be one.
Yeah, he's kind of like a different category all by himself, but something's falling off my desk here. You know what other Raider Walker Bueller is number one in, Chris?
What's that?
The tight pants Raider.
Oh, yeah, that's easy number one.
Bueller and them tight pants are just dominating this year. Yeah, I think it'd be one thing if DeGrom was, I'll even say like 29, 30, but the fact that 33, like mentioned, potential for surgery here, putting on even longer, then he's getting up in the mid-30s. Yeah, I don't know. If there was like a pitcher-only dynasty mock draft right now, I think DeGrom would still go one, but it wouldn't surprise me if any of those other arms we talked about snuck in there. Probably if I had to put anybody else one, I think Bieber, with him being injured right now, wouldn't go above DeGrom. But I wouldn't be surprised if Burns and Bueller are the two that I think could, you know, unseat DeGrom right now. I think Woodruff is in that mix as well, and Garrett Cole too. But Garrett Cole is also, you know, a little older than the other arms. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, I'm definitely worried about DeGrom because he's been kind of nicked up all year, and it kind of sucks that he's been so nicked up because it's robbed us of arguably one of the best single season pitching performances ever. Like put him in the same category as Pedro in 99 and 2000, Bob Gibson in 67, you know, those types, Clemens in 86, you know, this is one of the best singles, and maybe even better than those. And we kind of got robbed of it. Is there any, how many innings pitched did he have this year? He didn't even crack 100, did he?
DeGrom?
Yeah.
92.
Okay. So, yeah, we got 92 innings. So, we got around half a season of arguably one of the top five pitching performances we've seen. So, yeah, it's definitely a question, and that'll be interesting. I think we should have that type of episode in the offseason, like a dynasty mock draft, bring on some good pitching minds. That'll be interesting to see how that shakes out at the top because – a lot of good names that I can go many different ways, but yeah, that's at least a discussion once again with him being shut down and then in the injuries and the age as well. Let's go ahead and hit a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side, talk some arms that are breaking out, some rising underrated hitters, and a lot more. So stick with us.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEACtion with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into some arms here that are on the rise. Three in particular that have really been, you know, over the last month or two, really been taking off here and flying up rankings boards here. That's Logan Webb, Tristan McKenzie, and Shane McClanahan. Let's start with Logan Webb here. I put out a tweet earlier today. You know, over his last 12 starts, Logan Webb has been a fantasy ace. Like, he really has. In those 12 starts, he has, where did it go? I just had a plug. Yeah, right here. His last 12 starts, 66 and a third innings, 1.63 ERA, 0.92 whip, 5.4% walk rate, 28% strikeout rate. And he's had, in those last 12 starts, two earned runs or less in every single start. So I was kind of, you know, I always kind of liked Logan Webb, not a ton. I was never huge on him as a prospect, but, you know, so I was kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off, right? I was like, all right, this has been a great performance. You know, he's had some good starts in a row here, but I thought he would slow down. I thought this hot streak would come to an end at some point, but it's really not. And, you know, while I don't think this level is going to stick, I don't think he's a fantasy ace moving forward. Like, the, you know, the ERA on the year is 284, xERA is 341. But a lot of this is for real. Like, he doesn't give up many barrels. The hard hit rate is fairly low, 36.7%. The walk rate has improved. K rate's really improved this year. His slider is one of the best sliders in baseball. 156 batting average against, 46.3% whiff rate. His sinker's been decent enough, but I am worried because he does have three pitches with a batting average against above 250. The sinker, changeup, and the four-seamer, 259, 259, 296, respectively. XBAs all in that same general area. So it's not like he's been unlucky, but that slider, which he throws almost 30% of the time, has really helped him. So I do think he's going to slow down here, but I think...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's realistically could be a top 30 arm moving forward. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say not to sell high. Like, I think he's good. I think he's a solid arm, but I think you could sell really high right now.
I think so too.
You can still trade in a dynasty league. I'd probably do it. And I think he's good. I don't think he's elite, and he's still young, so I could be totally wrong in saying this, but yeah, I mean, you kind of look and everything, you know, under the hood looks good. He's changed his pitch mix up this year, and I think that's been a factor for sure. I don't know. I'm just worried that regression could be coming, and I want to be on the right side of it. So right. I'm not opposed to it in the right deal. I'm also not opposed to keeping him because I think he can be a solid arm who, you know, could be helpful for you long term. But, you know, just some of the underlying metrics have me slightly paused with, you know, going too high on him. The strikeout numbers, you know, are good. And I just think overall, I think you could get a lot for him right now. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the strikeouts did tick down a little bit considering, you know, swinging strike rate of 11.7%, which is up, you know, that is up from last year at 8.8%. So you do like to see that. He has made strides. And I don't want you to hear me say that I think he's a bad pitcher by any means. But I just think that, you know, when guys are at peak value is a good time to sell in Dynasty League. Like, that's what we do is we, you know, have to play like the stock market. And you have to know when to hold and when to fold, when to sell. And so I think that Webb's probably a solid like SP3 long term.
Yeah.
I think you could get you know, SP2 value for him right now. So I would potentially dangle him in a trade and see what people would pay up.
You just got that song stuck in my head. You know that you got to know when to fold them, know when to hold them, or know when to hold them, know when to. I'm messing up the song, but yeah, no, I totally agree. And what has, you know, kind of helped? I mean, I mentioned the, you know, 259 or above average against three of his four offerings. I'm not including the cutter. He's thrown 18 times for a 1.2% usage rate. But the fact that he had everything is not hit too hard and it's hit into the ground. He has a 61.8% ground ball rate this year, only 17.3% fly ball rate. So that has definitely helped. The fact that, you know, while people are kind of, you know, they're making contact off his pitches outside of the slider, it's going right into the ground. So it's pretty solid defense out there in San Fran. It's definitely helped him as well. So him with that team in that ballpark, it's a great fit. It really is. But yeah, I do think I would agree with, you know, I would definitely look to sell high right now. I still think he can be, I agree that he can be a good arm moving forward, but just the fact that he has one good pitch, and outside of that, like, the changeup is decent, 28.7% whiff rate, 259 batting average against, 370 slug. So, like, even though his averages are kind of high, all three of those pitches almost have the same exact slug, 371, 370, 370. So, is he be able to keep this up long term and, you know, elevate another pitch to get, you know, higher whiff rate to go along with that slider? We'll see. But yeah, definitely, I think he's going to be top 30, top 40 arm moving forward. But, and we even had a tweet directed at both of us earlier today, kind of asking, you know, would we trade Yordan Alvarez or Luis Robert for Logan Webb? And well, Logan Webb's been great, and, you know, he's been one of the best arms in baseball over the last 2-3 months. You know, that just shows how high some people value him right now. So it wouldn't hurt to at least dangle him out there and see, you know, what you can get for him right now for sure. Same thing can kind of go with Shane McClanahan, you know, but McClanahan has, you know, the stats have been good, not quite as good as Logan Webb, but 3.63 ERA on the year, 1.28 WHIP, 28.5% K rate, 7.8% WHIF walk rate, excuse me. And but he has, like, you look at, I like his pitch mix more than I like Logan Webb's. McClanahan has three pitches with a 40% or higher WHIF rate, slider, curve, changeup, all 40% or higher, and the fastball is kind of his worst pitch. Even though it's 96.5 miles an hour on velocity, but it's 297 batting average against, 522 slug. That's been kind of a below average pitch in terms of effectiveness this year for him. But all the secondaries have been pretty good. The changeup's getting, you know, 318 batting average against, but only a 257 XBA, so, and a 347 X slug. So a little bit unlucky there, but I like his pitch mix more. And I think if I had to pick one of these two moving forward, I would go McClanahan. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's, you know, one, there's more pedigree that we've seen long-term here. We've seen the performance from a longer standpoint. And yes, I know people can make changes, and he has. But yeah, with McClanahan, I do like the pitch mix a lot. Obviously, I'd like to see him use the changeup a little bit more. I think that he has a, you know, really solid arsenal. And when you look at his pitch mix, you know, reminds a little bit of, like, you know, Robbie Ray this year that we've seen.
Yep.
You know, even like a Rodon. So there's a lot to like in this profile, in my opinion. Even though he has gotten hit hard, you know, his, when he's allowed contact, it hasn't been, you know, great contact by any means, but he's kind of made up for it with the whiff rate and the chase rate. So he's getting away with it. And even though, you know, you look and the underlying metrics are still good. Actually, his Sierra and FIP are both lower than his ERA. His XERA is high at 4.41 because that does factor a little more of the stat cast in. But, you know, I think that McClanahan's the type of guy that can excel because of his bat missing stuff. And, you know, that kind of gives him the edge to Webb for me because he does miss more bats. And I think that he's capable of sustaining that, you know, long-term. I think he's a 30% K rate type guy.
Yeah. I love McClanahan. I love him down there in Tampa Bay. You know, they've always had a good track record with developing arms, and he kind of reminds me of kind of like Blake Snell when Blake Snell was good. You know, he was missing a lot of bats, especially with the off speed and the fastball kind of came and went in terms of effectiveness. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of Blake Snell. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Blake Snell was that one year or as bad as Blake Snell has been since, or as inconsistent, I should say, as he's been since that Cy Young year. But, Yeah, definitely really like McClanahan. I love the pitch mix. He's always been really filthy too. He's always had this really good pitch mix, and he's gotten better. He kind of went from a thrower to a pitcher over the last 2 or 3 years, dating back to his days in college. So really has improved just his overall pitch mix and his sequencing, so on and so forth. So yeah, definitely buying into McClanahan for sure. And I think he could be a definite SP2 moving forward. I think he could be a top 20 arm. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck into like that 16 to 20 range in our rankings for dynasty pitchers moving forward. Since he's got the stuff, especially if the fastball, if he can find a way to limit the hard contact off his four seamer, I think that would take him from where he is now to that level, I think. So definitely buying in on him right now, because I think his arrow is firmly pointed up. Another arm here that's really pointed up over the last month or so, Tristan McKenzie, who's been really inconsistent throughout his major league career, lots of ups, lots of downs. Over the last month, though, he has been just dominant. Last four starts in the month of August, 28 innings, 193 ERA, 0.50 whip, 2% walk rate, 28.6% K rate. And I mentioned in my tweet yesterday that in his last three starts, 34% with CSW or higher, 29% whiff rate or higher, and a 60% or higher whiff rate on both breaking balls in each of his last two starts. Are you buying this, Chris? I'm kind of buying. I'm so worried about, you know, his durability. Obviously, like we mentioned, he's still very skinny. I worry about how many innings he can throw over a full season, year in, year out. But now I'll say I'm partially buying, but not fully buying it. I still have my questions. But what are your thoughts, McKenzie? Are you buying in?
Yeah, I think he's made the tangible changes that you want to see, and a lot of it had to do with control. I think he's really putting the time to work on that, and you know, the results have been there. I mean, the walks have been way down, and you know, we're seeing him perform at a high level just consistently. You know, he's had a couple blow up starts, you know, dating back to July. Since August, he's been stellar, but you know, in July 31st, he had a little blow up start there against the White Sox with 6 earned runs, 2 starts before, 5 earned runs against Cleveland. But you know, there was a lot of good starts sprinkled in there, and since then, since August, he's just looked like a different pitcher. And you know, it's hard to know what to attest it to for sure, but since even with the couple blow up starts, the walks were down a decent bit, and the numbers have just been stellar since. You bring up, you know, valid concerns, I think, with the durability. I do think he needs a little more meat on those bones to see if, you know, he can be durable long term.
Someone feed him a cheeseburger. Yeah, something. Seriously. Someone feed Tristan McKenzie, please.
Whatever the best cheeseburger place is in Cleveland, yeah, y'all take the man there. But I mean, the results have been there, like I mentioned. Yeah, I made the mistake of sitting him on the bench in a couple of places last week. I wish I wouldn't have, but he's in my starting lineup this week. So I'm gonna hope this sustains, because it's been really good. The results are there. And I do think long term, like, he's always flashed the potential. That's the thing. We've seen the potential, and I think that he's made the tangible changes now to really take a step forward. So, yeah, I'm buying. I think he's a borderline, you know, like top 100 to 125, like overall dynasty type. And, yeah, you know, I feel pretty comfortable slotting him there. Like, he's in a similar spot to McClanahan and, you know, Webb being slightly behind for me.
Okay, so I differ a little bit there. I'm not quite ready to put him in McClanahan range because I have a lot more questions about McKenzie than McClanahan, but at the same time, if I see, like, I'm so right, this durability, I just giant red flag for me. He just looks like a guy that's going to be injured and not being able to go deep in the games consistently, even though he's, you know, averaging seven innings per start over the last four. But I just worry about that durability long term. So I'm not quite ready to put it. I actually have Webb ahead of him right now, but so right now I rank them McClanahan, Webb, McKenzie. But if McKenzie can silence my durability concerns, he would definitely move, I think, ahead of Webb. I think he has higher upside than Webb, I will say that. And even, you know, I mentioned his inconsistencies overall. You look at just the metrics on each of his three, you know, I'm not even including the changeup. He doesn't really throw that anymore. Each of his three pitches, four-seamer, curveball, slider, even through the inconsistencies over the last 2 years, 2020, batting average against, four-seamer, 194, slider, 130, curve, 077. This year, four-seamer 206, slider 130, curve 097. So even though, like I said, he's had inconsistencies on the surface, had those blow-up outings, the metrics are very good on all of his pitches, and that's not luck either. XBAs are very low on all three of those as well. So, and whiff rates have been high each of the last two seasons. So the talent is there, and if he can maintain this improved command and control he's shown lately, which, and he was a good, pretty solid command and control guy in the minor leagues too. But when he got up to the majors, especially earlier this year, it was just, he was a totally different guy. He couldn't find the strike zone. Walk rate was very high, getting himself into trouble. So if this McKenzie is here to stay, then yeah, he's going to move up a lot higher for me. But I still would take McClanahan over him, Webb over him for now. But I think he could pass Webb here if this continues moving forward. Moving over to some hitters now. And we have several hitters on here. We're going to talk six or seven hitters here. We'll see how much time we have. But some of the more underrated guys that aren't the flashiest, you know, don't have the buzzy names, but they're just getting the job done. You know, we talked about Austin Riley a bit recently. We touched on him again, but really the three here that I want to talk about: Jake Cronenworth, Jonathan India, and Willy Adames. I just wrote about Cronenworth recently. If you want to check out my detailed thoughts on him, check out that on fantraxhq.com. But him and Jonathan India and Adames, they have both, all three of them have been easy top, I'd say, 50 players over the last couple of months here. Cronenworth has been really good all year. India has really taken off as the Reds' leadoff hitter, high on base, on like a 20-12 pace or something like that. A lot of runs, good OBP. And then Willy Adames is the guy that we all hoped he could be after that trade. And you looked at his home road splits, he's basically matching those road splits now that he's gotten out of Tampa. So, and at one point, I think a week or two ago, I put out a tweet that he had the second highest WOBA for shortstops since that trade, which was like May 21st or something like that, in baseball, only behind, obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. But I have all three of them as top 100 guys now, and I feel very confident about that. What are your thoughts, Chris? Are any of these three that you maybe aren't quite buying right now?
No, I mean, that's the crazy thing. They're all, I'm buying all of them. You know, Jake Cronenworth just continues to rake. And, you know, he's one that was great last year when we faded. We're like, just a, you know, small sample of dominance.
I think it's because he was like the older prospect. He debuted at what, 26, I think it was. Yep. So I think that's because, and he wasn't like a huge prospect pedigree. He's like, all right, cute little story, but yeah, whatever. I think that's kind of the mindset.
Yep. But he's continued to perform, and the power has been, you know, a pleasant surprise this year. And, you know, I'd like to see him hit for a little higher average, but shoot, 280. Come on. 280 with 19 home runs, 4 stolen bases. Extremely good. You know, he doesn't chase the ball much. He doesn't whiff much. He doesn't strike out. It's all things you like to see. And, yep, you know, the only knock on him is he doesn't hit the ball that hard, but he's getting away. I mean, it's working. You know, whatever he's doing is working fine. He's obviously got a lot more poolside power, but, you know, that'll play. I'm not worried about that at all. And I think he's going to be a solid player for years to come. Plus the versatility. I love that he can, yes, you know, play multiple positions.
That's clutch.
Yeah. In fantasy, when you have a guy that can play multiple positions, is huge. And I think he's going to continue to do that. I know he's played a lot of short for him since Tatis moved to the outfield, but you know, even still, I think he's going to continue to get enough reps where he'll stick and play multiple positions and have a lot of eligibility for fantasy purposes. Now, India is one that I think that we should all be adapting to more. He's been so good. And I think, you know, we kind of discounted that. I mean, he's got 387 OBP. I know the average, 276. Yeah, it's solid, but 16 home runs, 8 stolen bases. He's been really good. 850 OPS. You can't really argue with that. He's a similar boat to Cronenworth, where, you know, the average exit velocity and hard hit rate aren't great, but he's still making it work. He plays in a great ballpark for home runs, so he'll be there long term. I really like India as well, and, you know, he's a huge value boost for OBP. And I don't know if people realize that. If you play an OBP league, I think this is like a borderline top 100 type player. I think he's that good. And so Adames, you know, sorry, Adames, I think, is just, this is who he is. He just played in the drop, and, you know, his career road splits were stellar. All three of these guys are 100% I'm buying.
I think India might even be higher. Like, I have him top 100 for average leagues. So I think he could be legit like top 60 or so in OBP. Even though, and I see that, you know, some of the detractors are that his expected stats aren't anything that wow you. It's 249 XBA, 419 X slug, but you know, you don't always have to have a, you know, this majestic savant page. Now, we reference a lot of savant metrics and they're great, but sometimes you don't have to reference that. Like, you look at, like, Francisco Lindor is the poster child for that. He never had like these great savant metrics, you know, a lot of red. It was good, obviously, but he was one that, like, you looked at his savant and you wouldn't think that he was a guy that was a, you know, MVP candidate for the last half decade or whatever. So I'm definitely buying. Like, let's look at India. He just, the game I was at, it was Phillies Reds Sunday before last on the 17th or 16th, whatever it was. And he let off the game with a home run. Next two at bats, singles in the left. And then I think he finished 3-for-5. But he was just so in control. It was, you know, loved. I love the approach he has. Like, high OBP. K rate is like around league average, but above average walk rate. Just puts the ball in play. Above average barrel rate. You know, I think there could be maybe a little more speed to be had there too. Like, 87th percentile sprint speed. I think he could be a 20 homer, 15 steal guy or something like that with a 375 or higher OBP. You know, a lot of runs scored, you know, leading off for a pretty good Cincinnati lineup with guys like Castellanos and Winker and Joey Votto hitting behind him. So I'm definitely buying. I think he's top 100 for average, top 75 or even top 60 for OBP. And yeah, Willy Adames, yeah, like I said, he's just performing as we thought. And, you know, the metrics, again, metrics aren't great. You know, a lot of above league average, but not like elite metrics. But he's got the K rate, raised the walk rate, hitting the ball harder. Now he's out of the trough. And I think that's just what it was. Sometimes a player and a home ballpark just aren't a good fit. And that was what it was. And I don't blame him. Like, the trough is not a great place to play. Like, you know, you hear a lot of negative things. I've never been there, but you hear a lot of great, you know, negative things, excuse me, about the trough. So, and you looked at his home road splits, they were just ridiculous. It was like 220 or so at home, like 295 on the road. And, you know, since going over there, he's basically matched those road metrics now that he's out of the trop. So definitely, I think 280 and 25 plus for Adames are very realistic moving forward. And he's still only 25 too, which is ridiculous. I thought he was like 28 or so, but he's still only 25. So still very young. I don't think there's a big difference between him and like a Carlos Correa moving forward. I think they're kind of similar players. I would still take Correa, but I don't think there's this massive gap. So, and yeah, with Cronenworth, you know, like I said, I have that article, so I won't get too in depth on him here, but just one of the best pure hitters, best plate approaches in the game. Like Chris, you mentioned, you know, the whiff rate, chase rate are both really good. And I think there's more potential for more speed here too. 84 percentile sprint speed, only 4 steals and 518 plate appearances. I think he could be more of a 10 to 15 steal guy to go along with, you know, 20, low 20s home runs. Like you mentioned, the power metrics aren't great. They're solid, but not, you know, they don't wow you. But I think just the sum of the parts here with, you know, he has got a pretty solid launch angle, 12.6 degrees, hits the ball hard enough, barrels the ball enough, puts, you know, the contact skills, the approach, the selectiveness. I think the sum of the parts here kind of add up to, you know, a higher home run total than the metrics might, you know, metrics might show. So yeah, I'm definitely buying all three top 100 for me moving forward for sure. Moving on to a few more names here that are really heating up. And, you know, Dansby Swanson, who was a popular draft pick back in the spring, but kind of scuffled to start the year, but he's really come on lately. You know, Chris, I'll give it to you here. You know, you being the brave guy that's seen him, you know, more than most. What have you seen here throughout the season that, you know, has kind of signaled this resurgence from Dansby Swanson?
Well, he's certainly, you know, been more productive from a contact standpoint, where he's been much better in that department. And I think this is him just kind of coming into his own of who we thought he could be. And, you know, it's a distant memory of him being the number one overall pick. Now, that was a long time ago, it seems. And sometimes it just takes guys a little longer to develop than others. But I mean, over the last month, he's just absolutely raked. You know, 7 home runs, 3 stolen bags, 421 OBP over that time. He's been really, really good. He's another one of these guys with, you know, middling exit velocities, actually a really good hard hit rate. You know, 75 percentile is pretty good for, you know, a player like him. But even still, you know, good barrel rate. The biggest, I think, knack on him is still the strikeout rate being a little high. But even still, we've seen that come down. It's just at 24%. So it's not that high in today's, you know, world.
Yeah.
I just think that you're looking at a player that's evolving and coming to his own. He's, you know, hitting the ball harder. He's making better contact. You know, he's getting the ball in the air more consistently. And we're seeing the pay dividends here. And, you know, it's not like all his home runs are like, you know, weak home runs. Like, these are legit home runs that are clearing the fence by a decent margin. And even you look at the spray chart, and there's even some plenty of balls out there near the wall that, you know, could be home runs that aren't. And, you know, 25 home runs so far. Like, people never projected him to be more than like a 20 home run guy. Yeah. He has 25 so far in 516 plate appearances, 9 stolen bags. Like, he's a 30-10 type player. And that's exactly what he was pacing last year. And he started the season slow. And, you know, I wrote an article this offseason about that exactly, about how he was performing so well. And this even happened back to 2019 where, you know, prior to injury, he was breaking out. And, you know, the injury kind of stopped him there. He had a similar thing last year where some injuries kind of kept him from being the breakout type player. And now we're seeing it. We're seeing him, you know, come into his own and just be the guy that everybody thought he could be. And it's funny because early in the year, people were screaming that the Braves should DFA him. Like, right, he was playing that bad.
That,
like,
was Braves fans, crazy. He was slumping, but my word, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, like, nuts. And people were like, it's actually speculation that's happening. And, you know, I even thought, like, wait, is this for real? Like, are they actually going to do this? I still have, you know, I think 3 years of team control. That would be nuts. But here we are, and he's really coming to his own. And I think we're looking at a really solid player who's just entering his prime at 27 years old.
Yeah, he has probably the quietest 25 homers you'll ever see.
Like, yeah.
That, you know, with the 25th home run tonight on Monday night when we're recording here, that put him third by himself among shortstops for home runs this year, only behind Marcus Semien at 30 and Fernando Tatis Jr. at 34. So he's third, and he's on pace for probably, what, 85, 90 runs, close to 100 RBI, 12, 13 steals. Like, this is going to be, even though you go from a guy that was, people were calling for his head and calling for him to be DFA'd, which, again, crazy. But this is a guy that's on a 266, 30, 95, 85, 12 pace or something like that. That's very good. And it looks like he's like been about a top 50 or so player, even with that slow start factored in. So, you know, probably since he's started hitting again, he's probably been like a top 25 player or so over the last couple of months. So, you know, yeah, definitely. And again, he's just one that's just so underrated because he doesn't light up the page with Savant. So he's definitely one I think you still get for even though he's hitting well right now, you can probably still get him for a pretty reasonable cost in Dynasty.
Yeah, on Yahoo, you know how they kind of rank the players. So every last month, you know, in the OBP format, 5x5 OBP format, he's the third ranked player.
There you go.
So overall, like, that's how good he's been. And since the All-Star break, you know, I mean, he's 319, 370, 574 since the All-Star break, 9 home runs. The power's come, you know, over the last month. But even still, like, he's the highest WRC plus of any shortstop since the All-Star break. He is. Willie Adames is second.
Yep, that makes sense. And that's ahead of the god Fernando Tatis Jr. So, I've always, you know, while I was never, I'll admit, I was never the biggest Swanson guy in the minors when he was coming up through. I think it's kind of like you looked at, number one pick, but he never really looked like a number one pick. But again, like you mentioned, it takes some guys longer sometimes. And I've definitely, with each passing year, I seem to be more in on Dansby Swanson. So I dropped him down earlier in the year when he was struggling. I think he kind of had to. But now he is definitely moving back up. He's back at 7 top 100. I think he could be, like, if this Dansby Swanson that we're seeing now, like this pace of a 30, 10, you know, 180 plus, you know, runs plus RBI guy, solid, you know, solid but not great average. This is a top 60 or so player, maybe even top 50 for OBP moving forward. So, love that he's hitting again. And Atlanta, you guys really needed him to start hitting again with Acuna going down. And, you know, he's been a huge reason why the Braves have now kind of established themselves as the team to beat in that National League East over the last month or so with how well they've been playing. Coming in tonight with a 9-game winning streak against the Yankees, who also have a 9-game winning streak. So hopefully you guys win this game tonight. Beat the Yankees.
Right. Yeah, we're down 3-1 in the eighth, but
Come on. Beat the Yankees. Would you? You can't have them winning 10 in a row.
I know.
But need couple, a big win. Yeah. Couple more hitters here before we go. Some bigger names here. I think it's time, you know, Teoscar Hernandez doesn't get as much love as he should. Like, he's one that you look at a Savant page, there's a lot of red there, and there has been for a couple years now. Now, this year, you know, when he broke out, you know, previously, it was like, all right, this is great, the power's great, but what we saw previously with the terms of, like, how fluctuant his batting average was, I think a lot of us, myself included, were like, all right, this ain't going to last. But he hit 289 last year, 306 this year, highest OBP of his career, 349. Slugging's a little bit down a little bit from last year, but still 525. Now, I think it's time. Like, he's on a – he missed a little bit of time. He only has 430 plate appearances, but he's on a right around probably a 30 – low 30s home run, 110 RBI, 85 run, 15 – or, you know, 12 to 15 steal pace. And with that 306 average, 349 OBP, you know, and he's made some tangible improvements. Yeah, there's still – you know, he still whiffs a bit much. You know, he still chases a bit much. But at the same time, the whiff rate is the lowest it's been since 2016. You know, the chase rate is, you know, it's gone up a little bit. It's right, kind of right in line with last year. So it's still, that's still worse than league average. But the metrics aren't daunting anymore. And he's improved in a lot of areas. He's been more aggressive on the first pitch, really hunting out that first pitch fastball. And I think he needs to be talked about as one of the elite fantasy options in the game. I'm not saying top 25, but top 40, top 50. I think it's time that we really talk about him in that regard. What do you think?
Yeah, even with the missed time, he on the Rasball's Play Rater, 17th best player this year. So, yep. You know, you're looking at a very solid player here. And even
he's still only 28, too.
Yeah, it's not like he's old by any means. You know, I think he's still got plenty of prime left. I think he's going to be in a great lineup for years to come where he should. I think that run total will tick up too, where, you know, just 61 runs. I think that I'm surprised it's not closer to his RBI total of 84.
I agree. So, that lineup is just really good. I think that lineup is only going to get better once Kurt gets established, and, you know, they bring up Austin Martin and Jordan Groshans. And I started not Austin Martin and got rid of him, Jordan Groshans and Aurelvis Martinez. The lineup is to keep getting better and better. That's going to be a very good lineup for a long time, and he'll be hitting right in the thick of it with good hitters in front of him and behind him.
Yep, and he absolutely bombs, too. The contact rates are improved, which, you know, has been fantastic for him to see that go up. The strikeout rate, that was a concern for me. I mean, you look at the strikeout numbers, and they weren't good. In 2019, 33%. Even last year in his, you know, big breakout year, 30%. But now down to 24.8%. That's huge for him. I'd like to see him walk a little bit more, but like you mentioned, the OBP is still solid because he's hitting for high average. I just think that he's legit. I mean, you could say that there should be BABIP progression, but he's got elite sprint speed. So he's always kind of ran high BABIPs. And, you know, we saw it last year, saw it this year. Who's to say he's not a high BABIP guy, because he scorches the ball and he's got a great sprint speed. So kind of good recipes for high BABIP.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, he is one that the Savant metrics are – it's phenomenal, especially when it comes to quality of contact. 90th percentile, or let's say 87th percentile or higher in average exit velo, max exit velo, hard hit, ex-woba, xBA, ex-slug, and barrel rate. And sprint speed to 84th percentile as well. Like the blue balls are whiff rate, chase rate, walk rate, K rate, as you know, we both kind of alluded to. But he just hits the ball so damn hard. In fact, he has a 92nd percentile xBA. So if you're wondering, oh, this is not, you know, it's still fluky, he's not going to hit 306. The xBA is 287. xBA last year was 294. Like, it's legit now. You know, we got to start believing fully in Teoscar Hernandez being an elite player. And I need to bump him even higher than I have him in my rankings, because I think this is legit. The lineup, the ballpark, you know, the skill set here, the age, it's all good, right in his prime. So I think we're going to see this type of Teoscar Hernandez for, you know, at least next few years. Couple more players here before we get out of here. Speaking of resurgences, like we did with Dansby Swanson and others, Brendan Lau has, you know, he started off the season pretty well, went to a really, really bad funk, but he has really turned it around. Like, look at the last 28 days, 295, 376, 642, slash line, 8 home runs, 9 doubles, in 109 plate appearances. He, you know, after he hit 182 in April, 196 in May, 241 in June, started heating up a little bit then, seven home runs, and then 288 in July, 286 in August, and has cut the K rate basically every month for the most part. Are you buying this, Chris, or do you think this is just what he is? He's going to be, you know, really streaky end of the year. Numbers look pretty solid for the most part, but just like the massive ups and downs. What are your thoughts on
yeah, that? I remember we talked about him a couple months ago, and I was afraid he was going into a full platoon because of, you know, how bad the splits were. And he's still not great against lefties, but he's been, you know, better. He certainly, you know, mashes righties. I don't know. I think he's going to be a streaky player. And so, yeah, I think in a like a season-long roto context, he's going to be fine because he's going to have a lot of hot streaks. And, yeah, you know, he's going to have a lot of weeks in a head-to-head format where he really sinks you, I think. But, yeah, I mean, even still, like, he's really turned it on over the last, you know, month and a half, almost 2 months, like you mentioned. The strikeout rate has been cut. The walk rate's ticked up. 287 since July 1st, 287, 386, 633 slash, and 13 home runs over that time. So, yeah, he's been good. And I'm just afraid, like, he'll probably hit a cold patch at some point, and he's going to be a streaky player.
Yeah, I think that's what I think he's just going to be always streaky, you know, more valuable in roto than head-to-head. So you mentioned he's still, even with the resurgence here, against lefties, it's still not good. Against, where'd it go? Oh, yeah, right there. Against righties, 262, 378, 564. Against lefties, 176, 259, 366. Over 147 plate appearances with a strikeout rate above 34%. So, yeah, still not good against there. And, you know, the Rays, you know, they get cute with their lineups a lot of times. But, yeah, I think if you can sell high on Lau right now, I definitely would. It's because that inevitable, you know, the peaks and valleys, that valley's coming. And I think this would be always a lot of peaks and valleys with him. And I think you could say the same thing with Luis Robert, who we'll end the show with here. But it's a small sample size, obviously. And he's only seen, you know, 103 batted balls this year, 478 pitches, 151 plate appearances. But he's hitting 324 right now, 367 OBP. The walk rate has gone down, which is never great. But the K rate, at the same time, you take the, you know, take the good with the bad, the K rate's also gone down. So down from 32.2% to 24.5%. Quality of contact metrics are pretty good right now. Max xAV low, 91st percentile, still one of the fastest guys in the game. And he has, you know, he's been, like I said, a small sample size, of course, but he's been a lot of tangible changes. And the biggest one, the two biggest ones that I see here, zone contact has gone up 16% this year, and whiff rate has gone down 12.5%. He's still above league average whiff rate. He's never going to be a great plate approach guy, but I am at least encouraged with these improvements, that because he could be a top 10 dynasty guy just because of that power. So he could go 30-30, 30-40, you know, something like that. He has that power and speed. We've seen that. So I'm at least encouraged by the gains this year. But, you know, what have you seen from Robert? Are you encouraged as well, or are you still kind of a little hesitant?
No, I definitely think there's been major strides, and we saw it before the injury, and I think we're still seeing it even still. I mean, since he returned from injury earlier in August, the zone contact's at 94%, which is really good. You know, the overall contact rate at 82%. So, you know, that's fine. The zone contact's elite there. Swinging strike rate is fine. It's way down from last year. He's one of the worst swinging strike rates of any hitter last year. And I think that, like you said, I think he's made tangible changes. I would like to see him walk a little more. I mean, you know, even still, he's got an 18.2% strikeout rate since he returned, just 44 plate appearances, but 2.3% walk rate. So I'd like to see that tick up a little bit. But I do think, you know, it's a product of a small sample, but I'd like to see him walk a little more. But I do think he's on his way to being an elite player. I mean, he's still young. He just turned 24 earlier this month, and I think there's a lot of good days ahead of him. You know, the power speed, I think, is legit. If the contact rates stick, then I think he could be a, you know, borderline Fernando Tatis type player. He's that much upside.
Absolutely. Now, again, fast forward 5 years. Is he top 10 in dynasty rankings?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Like I said, he's one of the highest upsides in baseball. So, and a guy that I have a lot invested in Dynasty League. So I really hope that he hits that ceiling because that would mean good things for me. But yeah, look at, you know, this year again, small sample size, but you know, the launch angle is good. Exit velo is good. Max exit velo is good. And he has an XBA of 259 or higher against all three pitch classifications. So really improved a lot across. And there's still more to be done. Obviously, like we mentioned, the approach still needs some more tinkering, but to the point where I think it's gotten to the point where I'm less worried about the approach kind of being a total boon to his value right now. I don't think that the bottom's going to fall out as I kind of did last season. So definitely more encouraged by Robert. So see how he ends the season. And if he ends the season, you know, continuing to show these improvements and still have a, you know, a good overall stat line, I think you'll see him back in the top two rounds of drafts next year, just because of the upside and the improvements he's shown. So very encouraged by Luis Robert, but that is going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to everyone again for listening this week. We hope you all enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04 and our show at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. Make sure to tune in again next week for more Dynasty and Prospect Talk. But until then, everyone take care.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.